Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of The Blob That Ate Everyone by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The cover has the blob that presumably ate everyone, with some veins on its head. It looks a little scabby and gross, but also wet, and it has a big tongue that's rolled out, like the, when you're on an airplane and there's a little, like, cards that tell you the safety information, and they have the slide in case of a water landing. The tongue looks like that, except for pink or purple. I'm colorblind. It's probably a mixture of both. And then it has a bunch of old trash coming out of it, like the monster from Spirited Away, the river one that the girl pulls out the plug and stuff and saves its life. I don't know. And it says, "He's no picky eater." I get it, R.L. Stine. Because I don't eat onions or pickles, I'm some sort of picky eater. I eat everything else, okay? Quit judging. Anyway, I just came from the Chargers game, where the Chargers won, so that was nice. It's in walking distance to my house, so point is I'm already very, I was going to say buzzed, but now I'm drunk. And I'm about to start this. I'm drinking a Bud Light because someone left a 18-pack at Fred's house last time I was there, and because I brought other beer, I ended up going home with this, and that's about it. Already drunk, got an episode up yesterday, probably won't put this up today on Sunday, and that's what's up. I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? Let's dive into this boy. Chapter number one. I used to believe in monsters, Alex said. I was just with my friend Alex. He just left. He took his first Uber ever. Good for him. She pushed her glasses up on her nose. Oh, it's a girl, Alex. Never mind. Her nose twitched. With her pink face and round cheeks, she looked like a tall, blonde bunny rabbit. When I was little, I thought that a monster lived in my sock drawer, Alex told me. You won't believe this, Zachy.
Are they talking to me? Because my name's Zachary, okay?
Or Dune, if you will. But I never opened that drawer. I used to wear my sneakers without socks. Sometimes I tried to go barefoot to kindergarten. I was too scared to open that drawer. I knew the sock monster would bite my hand off. She laughed. Alex has the strangest laugh. That's what I assume the strange laugh sounded like. It sounds more like a whistle than a laugh. Okay, maybe I was wrong. It's just wee wee. She shook her head, and her blonde ponytail shook with her. Now that I'm 12, I'm a lot smarter, she said. Now I know that there is no such thing as monsters. That's what Alex said to me 2 seconds before we were attacked by the monster. Wow, I'm into this book. It has a drinking break already. It was spring vacation, and Alex and I were out collecting things. That's what we do when we can't think of anything better. That's what my fiancé does. Like when I go to the beach and go bodyboarding and stuff, she goes and looks for shells and has a good time. It's all fantastic. Sometimes we collect weird-looking weeds with 5 or 7 leaves, depending if they're indicas or sativas. And sometimes we collect bugs like HIV or odd-shaped leaves, once again marijuana. Once, we collected stones that looked like famous people. Presumably they were crack rocks that looked like famous people. That didn't last long. We couldn't find too many. If you get the idea that Norwood Village is a boring town, you're right. I mean, it was boring until the monster attacked. Oh my god. 2 drinking breaks in the first chapter? What is this, Christmas, Franklin? Franklin, is it Christmas? It's not. It's October 4th, 2015. Alex Iarossi lives next door to me, and she is my best friend. Adam Levin, should I just say Levine? It's going to be easier for me. Adam Levine, who lives across town, is my best friend too, and possibly a homosexual. I think a person should have a lot of best friends. Me too. I agree. Friendship's important. I'm not sure why Alex has a boy's name. I think it's short for Alexandria, but she won't tell me. She complains about her name all the time. It gives her a lot of trouble, especially at Starbucks. That was a terrible joke for me to put a weird pause after it. Last year, at school, Alex was assigned to a boys' gym class, and she gets mail addressed to Mr. Alex Irashi. I spelled or pronounced that twice already in different ways. It's I-R-O-C-C-I. Irashi. Irashi. Sokotoa. I don't know. People are cheering because the Chargers game ended recently and I live near the stadium. Sometimes people have trouble with my name too. Zachy Beauchamp. My last name is pronounced Beecham, but no one ever knows it when I say it. Well, that's not fair that you gave the pronunciation after I pronounced it and looked like an idiot to all my listeners. Thanks a lot, R.L. Stein. Why am I going on about names like this? I think I know why. You see, when the blob monster attacked, I was so scared I forgot my own name. Is there really three drinking breaks in this chapter? Either R.L. Stein got super lazy or got off his ADD meds or something, or he made this book just for me and my love of boozing. Alex and I had decided to collect worms. Only purple worms, no brown worms, racist. That made the search more interesting. It had rained the day before, a long, steady spring rain. Our backyards were still soft and spongy. The worms were coming up for air. They poked through the wet grass and wriggled onto the driveway. We were both crouched down, searching for purple ones, when I heard a loud, squishy sound beside me. I spun around quickly. I gasped when I saw the monster. Alex, look! Franklin, be nice to Scarlet. She turned, too, and a whistling sound escaped her mouth. Whee! Only this time, she wasn't laughing. I dropped the worm I had been carrying and took a big step back. It looks like a giant human heart, Alex cried. She was right. The monster made another loud squish as it bounced over the grass toward us. It bounced like a giant beach ball at a Dave Matthews concert, presumably. Taller than Alex and me. Nearly as tall as the garage. It was pink and wet. And throbbing. I'm gonna let that sink in for a second. Brum, brum, brum. It pulsed like a heart, and not like the sound that it made in Lord of the Rings before the people in the Oliphants attacked from the east, like I made it sound. It had two tiny black eyes. The eyes glowed and stared straight ahead. On top of the pink blob, I thought I saw curled up snakes. But as I stared in horror, I realized they weren't snakes. They were thick, purple veins. Arteries tied together in a knot, like on some sort of veiny, thick, pulsating penis. Brum, brum, brum. The monster throbbed and bounced. Oh! I groaned as I saw the sticky trail of white slime it left behind on the grass. Alex and I were taking giant steps backwards. Kind of like Barack did in the White House. See, I don't really have an opinion about politics, but I had to make a joke there. We didn't want to turn our backs to the ugly... turn our backs on the ugly thing. Terrified groans escaped my throat. My heart had been pounding at 100 miles per hour. I took another step back, then another. Give me two steps, I said, like Leonard Skinner. And as I backed away, I saw a crack open up in the creature's middle. At first, I thought the pink blob was cracking apart. But as the crack grew wider, I realized I was staring at its mouth. The mouth opened wider, wider, like the monster from the Aphex Twin video for Come to Daddy that I seem to reference all the time now. Wide enough to swallow a whole human. And then a fat purple tongue plopped out. Remember when I said the cover I thought was pink and purple, but I'm colorblind? Turns out there was pink and purple, and I'm really good at this. The tongue made a wet splat as it hit the grass. Ugh, I groaned. My stomach lurched. I nearly lost my lunch. The end of the tongue was shaped like a shovel. A fat, sticky, purple shovel. To shovel people into the gaping mouth? Thick white slime poured from the monster's mouth. It's drooling, I choked out. Run, Alex cried. I turned and tripped on the edge of the driveway. I landed hard on my elbows and knees. I looked back in time to see the drooling pink mouth open wider as the tongue wrapped around me, pulling me in. Now let's hope that was recording, because if it wasn't, I quit this for today. Chapter number 2. Alex stared at me, her mouth wide open. Zacky, that is awesome, she declared. Adam scratched his curly black hair and made a face. Sorry, I was stopped because I was like, wait, did I mean her? Was I thinking of Alex? But Adam and Alex are different people and different genders. And then again, it's 2015, and I know from Tumblr that everyone has a different gender. By the way, at the Chargers game, there was a halftime show that was a bunch of, like, Mexican dancers. But they didn't really have a plan. Like, they're like, we're going to go out in different circles, and then we have nothing choreographed, and we're just going to play music. And then we'll kind of walk around. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And the lesbian next to me, who I thought was black, but I guess was black and Mexican, was like, I'm Mexican, and that's really offensive to me and my people. Maybe white people don't dance like that, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the fuck kind of social justice bullshit is this at a goddamn football game? I wasn't even goddamn talking shit. I'm engaged to someone that's goddamn part Mexican. What the fuck are you doing? All I'm saying is, if I was going to go out in front of tens of thousands of people, I would have a plan rather than just walking around looking at the guy next to me going, oh my God, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Which is all they were doing. It was confusing, it was disorganized, there was no choreography. That's what I was getting at. Not the fact that you're a special little snowflake from an important culture. Adam scratched his curly black hair and made a face. You call that scary? He rolled his eyes. That's about as scary as Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I held the pages of my story in one hand. I rolled them up and took a swing at Adam with them. Oh, so the story about the blob was just something that protagonist here made up. I thought there was finally a Goosebumps book where the first half of it would actually be relevant. You didn't just have to listen to part two of the Dune Reads Goosebumps, but nope, turns out it's all bullshit. He laughed and ducked out of my reach. That is an awesome story, Alex repeated. What do you call it? Adventure of the Blob Monster, I told her. Totally unoriginal. Oh, wow, Adam exclaimed sarcastically. Did you think that up all by yourself? I like this Adam, he's a douchebag. Alex gave Adam a hard shove that sent him tumbling onto the couch. Give Zacky a break, she muttered. I cringe every time I read Zacky. All three of us were hanging out at Adam's house. We were squeezed into what his parents call the rec room. The room is so small, only a couch and a TV fit. It's like a prison cell. You know, that's where you'll end up. It was spring vacation, and we were hanging out because we didn't know what else to do. The night before, I stayed up till midnight, working on my scary story about the blob monster. I want to be a writer when I grow up. I write scary stories all the time. Then, I read them to Alex and Adam. They always react in the same way. Alex always likes my stories. She thinks they're really scary. She says that my stories are so good, they give her nightmares. Adam always says my stories aren't scary at all. He says he can write better stories with one hand tied behind his back. Yeah, it's writing. You know, it's not difficult doing that. It's not like you're boxing with one hand tied behind your back. You're writing things. Fuck. You can just read it into a word processor and it'll record most of your thoughts nowadays. I'm sure R.L. Stein just kind of wakes up hungover and he's like, I don't know, a fucking blob that eats people. Go, make it happen. You know? Anyway. But he never does. He never writes shit. I put too much of a break there, so I just wanted you to know what was going on. He doesn't actually write stories. He just talks shit. Adam is big and red-cheeked and chubby. He looks like a little bear. He looks a little like a bear. So does Dune. He likes to punch people and wrestle around just for fun. He's actually a good guy. He just never likes my stories.
"What's wrong with this story?" I asked him. The three of us were crammed onto the couch now. There was nowhere else to sit. "Stories never scare me," Adam replied. He picked an ant off the couch arm, put it between his thumb and finger, and shot it at me. He missed. I thought the story was really scary," Alex said. "I thought you had a really good description." "I never get scared from books or stories," Adam insisted, having not read about the Holocaust, "especially stories about dumb monsters." "Well, what does scare you?" Alex demanded. "Nothing," Adam bragged. "I don't get scared by movies either. Nothing ever scares me." And then he opened his mouth wide in a scream of horror. All three of us did. We leaped off the couch as a terrifying screech ran through the room and a black shadow swept over the floor. "Hi, Scarlet. Did you come to see me read? All my pets are around me. Such a magical time, everyone." This is the third chapter. The shadow swooped by our feet, so fast I could barely see it. I felt something brush my ankle, something soft and ghost-like. How do you fucking know what ghost-like feels like? Unless they leave ectoplasm there, which is pretty much just skeet. I don't want to spoil anything for ghost encounters, but how do you know what a ghost feels like? It probably just feels like an old sheet. Your clansman grandpa could be a ghost with all that. "Whoa!" Adam cried. Let me try to woe it like Davy Havoc, as like Geo has as well. I've been listening to the Fire Inside Out podcast, which I suggest even if you like or don't like AFI, because it's just really good going through it, everything. But Adam cried. "Whoa!" "I can't do it, dude. I'm just too full of meat and alcohol to possibly be straight edge vegan Davy. I'm sorry." I heard hurried footsteps from the living room. Mr. Levin, Adam's dad, burst into the doorway. With his curly black hair and bear-like round body, Mr. Levin looks a lot like Adam. Super Jewy. "Sorry about that," he exclaimed. "I stepped on the cat. Did it run past here?"
"Don't call it it. It's a cat. Mimi, you're a girl. Dodie, you're a boy. You can't just call him it."
Anyway, we didn't answer them. We were so stunned we all burst out laughing. Mr. Levin, as in unleavened bread, frowned at us. "I don't see what's so funny," he murmured. I spotted the cat hiding beside the couch. He picked it up and hurried away. The three of us dropped back onto the couch. I was still breathing hard, and I could still feel the brush of the cat on my ankle. "See, Zacky?" Adam cried. He slapped me hard in the back. So hard, I nearly fell off the couch. That was a lot scarier than any story you could write. Okay, so the 12-year-old, I'm presuming it's 12 years old. Every single person in a Goosebumps book seems to be 12, 11, or 13, but vast majority are 12. But the point is, the person that we are, as I'm saying I and whatnot, is Zacky, which I didn't get until now. It's hard to read and pay attention, if that makes sense. But point is, I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable as someone whose real name is Zachary. That being said... "No way," I insisted. "I can write a scarier story than that. The dumb cat just surprised us." Alex pulled off her glasses and wiped the lenses on her t-shirt. "What a screech that cat made," she exclaimed, shaking her head and referencing Samuel Powers. "I wasn't scared at all," Adam claimed. "I was just trying to scare you guys." He reached over and rubbed the palm of his hand back and forth over my head. "Don't you hate it when people do that?" I slugged him as hard as I could. He only laughed. I don't think anyone's ever reached over and rubbed the palm of their hand back and forth over my head. Is that like a noogie? Is it like they're messing up your hair? I don't think you can mess my hair up. It's big, thick, weird, dark Italian hair that goes straight up. Anyway, ooh, drinking break. God, I like this book a lot just because of this. Next time anyone asks for my favorite Goosebumps book, it's going to be this one because I can drink the whole time.
Alex and I stayed for dinner. Mr. Levin is a great cook. We always try to be around Adam's house at dinner time because she always invites us to stay. By the way, it was Mrs. Levin that was a great cook, and I assume she's not making pork chops or crab legs. It was dark by the time Alex and I started to walk home. We had thunderstorms the day before and most of the day. The lawns glistened from the rain. The wet street reflected the glow of streetlights. I could hear the crackle of thunder somewhere far away. As Alex and I made our way along the sidewalk, cold rainwater dripped on us from the trees. Adam lives on the other side of Norwood Village, but it isn't a very long walk, only about 15 minutes. We walked for about 5 minutes. Then we came to a row of little shops. There's no drinking break here, but I'm going to drink because I've fucked up numerous times. When I started recording this, I would fuck up all the time, and I would go back and edit them out. But now I only fuck up once a chapter, once every other chapter, twice this chapter, but I'm blaming the lack of booze despite drinking all day. Hey! I cried out when the antique store on the corner came into view. It's been totaled. It looks as if a bomb hit it. Alex exclaimed. We stayed on the corner, staring across the street at it. Part of the roof had fallen in. All the windows were shattered. One wall had nearly caved in. The glory holes were demolished. The shingles on the walls and the roof had been burned black. Was it on fire? I wondered, leading the way across the street. Lightning, a woman's voice replied. I turned to see two young women on the sidewalk beside the store. It was struck by lightning, one of them said. Yesterday, during the big storm, the lightning started a huge fire. All right, well, it's probably the glory holes and God was mad. That makes complete sense. What a mess, the other woman sighed. She pulled car keys from her pocketbook. The two women disappeared around the corner, tisk-tisking about the store. Alex and I stepped up to the front. Ah, it stinks, Alex groaned, holding her nose. It smells burned, I replied like a genius. I glanced down and saw that I had stepped into a deep puddle, possibly left by Deep Puddle Dynamics, the rap supergroup from 1999 from underground rappers Slug of Atmosphere, Soul, Alias, and Dose One, all of them of Anticon. You should check that album out if you want to know what I was into when I was like 15. It probably doesn't hold up because it's weird art rap. Anyway, deep puddle, deep puddle, deep puddle. I jumped back. It's soaked everywhere, Alex murmured. From the fire hoses, I guess. A gust of wind made the front door bang. It's open, I exclaimed. The door had been taped shut, but the tape had broken off. A large yellow sign on the door declared in big black letters, "Danger. Keep out." Alex, let's take a peek, I urged. No way! Zacky, stop! Alex cried. Too late. I was already inside. That seems very rapey. No way! Zacky, stop! Too late. I was already inside. That's creepy. I don't know if I like that. I mean, I kind of do, but not a lot. Chapter number 4. I took a couple of steps into the shop and waited for my eyes to adjust to the darkness. Water dripped everywhere. An entire wall of shelves had toppled over. Broken vases and lamps and small statues lay scattered over the puddled floor. Zacky! Alex grabbed my shoulder. Zacky, get out of here! She whispered. This is really dangerous. Hey, bitch, if you keep calling me Zacky, it'll be dangerous for your fucking jaw. Leave the door open, I told her. We need the light from the street. But what do you want to see? Her voice echoed over the plunk, plunk, plunk of dripping water, like some sort of plunko machine from the show Wheel of Plunction. I don't know. I saw Wheel of Fortune with Bob Barker. It was tight. She grabbed my other arm and started to tug me out.
Come on, you saw the sign, the whole building may fall on us. I jerked my arm away. My sneakers squished as I walked. The carpet was soaked. I just want to look around for 1 second, I told Alex impatiently. This is cool. It isn't cool, I argued. It's really stupid. You can't decide what's cool. Someone named Zachy doesn't discern what's cool and what's not cool. I always laugh at, there's an old, Twisted song. That's with a Z. The group that came up underneath the NSYNC Clown Posse. And they go, kids on the internet thinking it's cool, but we ain't into that. And it's like, really? You white trash weird rappers from Detroit decided that you're not into the internet? Which is fine, you cannot be into it, but you just declared that it's not cool to be involved with the internet? Which everyone uses for everything? Kids on the internet thinking it's cool, but we ain't into that. That's one of my favorite rap lines ever because it's so ridiculously ignorant. Anyway, a row of ugly antique masks stared down at us from one wall. Oh god, is this like the Haunted Mask 16? The masks were tilted at odd angles. Other masks stared up from where they had fallen on the floor. A tall wooden clock had its face burned black. Wooden duck decoys lay on their sides, burned and cracked. A creaking sound overhead made me jump. I heard Alex gasp. I raised my eyes to the ceiling. Part of it had fallen in. Was the rest about to collapse on top of us?
Zachy, let's go, Alex urged.
She backed up toward the door. Her shoes squished over the soaked carpet. The door banged shut behind us. I turned and saw the wind blow it back open. Good old wind. Always opening and closing doors when you need it to. Plink, plink. Cold water dripped onto my shoulder as if some sort of icy bird pooped on me. I feel like that should have been more of a joke and I just didn't hit it right. If you don't come, I'm going without you, Alex called. I mean it, Zachy. Okay, okay, I muttered. I'm coming. I just wanted to check out what happened. And possibly the cash register, and see if anyone's manning these glory holes. Hurry, Alex urged. She was halfway out the door. I turned and started to follow her. But I stopped when something on a high shelf caught my eye. Hey, Alex, I called. Check this shit out. I pointed up to an old typewriter. Wow, my dad used to have one like that when I was really little, I said. Zachy, I'm leaving, Alex warned. I love old typewriters. Part of me was like, I really like this old typewriter I got. Then I realized, no, can't beat just using an open office and typing. You can type in Courier New if you want to, but you don't need to type on a typewriter. That's some pretentious shit. Anyway, I love old typewriters, I cried, on some pretentious shit. Look, Alex, I don't think the fire hurt it. I think it's in good shape. I just have to check it out, okay? I didn't wait for her to reply. I crossed the room, stepping up to the shelf, stood on tiptoe, and reached for the old typewriter. Ow! I felt a hard shock of pain. It shot through my body. Stunned me. Took my breath away. Over my stunned cry, I heard the sharp crackle of electricity, and I bent over, helpless, as a bright blue flame shot around my body like God's own crack torch.
Chapter 5. My neighbor, whose door is like 6 feet from mine, has her door open and I can hear her talking, so I assume she can hear me reading, which is very uncomfortable. Chapter 5.
Blue. I saw only blue, like Eiffel 65, the deepest blue I'd ever seen. I'm floating in the sky, I realized. I'm weightless. I'm floating in the blue, blue sky. This must be their writing, because it's terrible. Or R.L. Stein's. That could also account for how terrible it is. The blue faded to white. Was I still floating? Was I moving at all? Was I breathing? I struggled to speak, to shout, to make any kind of sound. The white faded quickly to gray, then black. Oh, I heard myself moan. Dark.
So dark now. I was surrounded by darkness. By the way, going through that AFI podcast, all of this just sounds like bad hack early AFI lyrics.
Dark, so dark now, surrounded by darkness. Oh!
I blinked, blinked again, and realized I was staring into the darkness of the ruined antique shop. Zacky, Zacky, I heard my name, heard Alex repeating my name. I cleared my throat. I sat up. My eyes darted around the store. Zacky? Zacky? Zacky, are you okay now? Will you tell us? Are you okay, Zacky? I tried to shake my dizziness away. My whole body tingled, tingled, and hummed, as if an electrical current was running through me. How did I get on the floor? I asked weakly. Alex leaned over me, one hand on my shoulder. You got a shock, she said. Ooh, maybe it's on Shock Street. Squinting hard at me through her glasses. There must be a wire down or something. I rubbed the back of my neck. I couldn't stop the strange tingling or the steady hum in my ears. Wow, I murmured. It was a real bad shock, Alex said softly. I was so scared. You were inside a blue flame, like the mixtape by Lil B. Your whole body, it turned bright blue, like a Smurf. Wow, I repeated, still fighting the dizziness. Your hands shot up in the air, as if you didn't care. Alex continued, and then you bent in two and fell onto the floor. I thought, her voice trailed off. Plink, plink. I could hear the drip of water again. The hum in my ears had faded. I pulled myself shakily to my feet. I stretched my arms over my head, trying to stop the strange tingling. The old typewriter caught my eye again, because clearly I don't learn from my mistakes. Zacky, what are you doing? Alex cried. I moved carefully to the shelf, stepping around a puddle of water on the carpet. I took a deep breath, stretched up on tiptoe, and pulled the old typewriter down. Whoa, it weighs a ton, like Chuck D's Uzi, I cried. It's solid metal, like Darkthrone. I held it in my arms and examined it. The sleek black surface caught the glow of the streetlight outside the door. The round keys poked up toward me. It's awesome, I exclaimed. This typewriter, Alex, it's perfect for writing my scary stories on. Are you crazy? Alex declared. Zacky, I think that electric shock messed up your brain. But look at it, I insisted excitedly. It's perfect. Perfect. They are yelling next door, and it's weird. I know you can't hear it, but I'm sure they can hear me talking about typewriters and going, oh. Alex rolled her eyes. You have a brand new computer at home, she reminded me, and your mom gave you her old laser printer, remember? I know, I muttered, but I'm a hipster. I'm thinking about growing out a mustache and getting wax for it. You can print 8 pages a minute, Alex continued. That's not very much. So, what do you need a creaky old typewriter for? I need it because it's perfect, I told her. Perfect, perfect. Stop repeating that word, she snapped. Are you sure you're feeling okay? That was a horrible shock. Maybe I should call your parents. No, I'm fine. You know how I feel about parents. Parents are the worst, I insisted. The typewriter was growing heavy in my arms. Let's just go. Lugging the typewriter, I started to the door, but Alex blocked my path. You can't just take it. She scolded, like some sort of spoil sport. It doesn't belong to you. That's stealing. God, I hate these moral jabronis. I made a face at her. Alex, don't be dumb. Everything in this store is wrecked. Nobody will care if I take. I stopped with a gasp when I heard the squish of shoes on the wet carpet. Then I heard a cough. I turned to Alex, caught the fear on her face. She heard the sounds, too. Zacky. We're not alone in here, she whispered.
Chapter number 16. Every chapter in this book has been short and there's been drinking breaks, so it's my favorite. Another squishy footstep.
closer. A chill swept down my back. I nearly dropped the typewriter. "Hide," I whispered. I didn't need to suggest it. Alex was already slipping behind a tall display shelf. I don't think I've ever actually hidden from someone, aside from like playing hide-and-go-seek and stuff. I don't think I've ever been like, oh no, someone's coming, let's get in this bush and get on some Metal Gear Solid shit. I set the typewriter down on the floor. Then I crept behind the shelf and huddled close to Alex. I heard another cough. And then a circle of light moved across the wet carpet. The pale yellow beam of a flashlight looking like some sort of ethereal urine. The light slid over the floor. Then it started to climb the display case. Alex and I ducked low. The circle of light washed over our heads. My legs were trembling. I gripped the back of the case with both hands to keep myself from falling over. "Hello?" a voice called. A woman's voice. "Hello? Is someone in here?" See, I made it a little higher and more sing-songy. That indicated that it's a woman, you know. Like, if I was going to be Scarlet, who's upstairs with Yoda now, I would go like, "Hello, Father, I'm going to lick you 3 times and then bite you, because that's the kind of cat I am." But if I was Franklin, I'd be like, "Hey, Dad, I want to go on a walk with you, but it's raining earlier, so I'm afraid to do it." And that's how it works. Anyway, Alex turned to me. She motioned with her head. She was silently asking if we should step out and show ourselves. I shook my head, no. How could we explain what we were doing inside the shop? How could we explain why we were hiding? Maybe the woman will leave, I told myself. Maybe she won't find us. Who is she? I wondered. Does she own the store? I peered out around the bottom shelf. I could see the woman from the side. She was African American. For our international listeners, that means black. She had very short, dark hair. See, African American or black people tend to actually have black, dark hair. You know, so that's why she had this. If they have light hair, they're called Cisco. Which Gio informed me recently, who might be a homosexual due to some tabloid shots, but, you know, he does like thongs. She wore a long raincoat, like the dude that shouldn't be into Yu-Gi-Oh! In his 20s. She moved the flashlight beam along the back wall. It lit up the fallen shelf, the broken antiques. Her footsteps slogged over the wet carpet. "Hello," she called. "Did someone come in here?" I held my breath. "Please leave," I begged silently. "Please don't catch us here." The woman turned. Her light stopped on the typewriter in the middle of the floor. She kept the light steady, staring at the typewriter. I knew what she was thinking. "If only I knew how to read and write, I could make the great American novel." Just kidding, she was thinking, how the fuck did the typewriter get on the floor? Slowly, she raised the light. Raised it back to the display shelf. She stared right at us. Could she see us hiding behind the display case? I don't know, is it glass or is it like wood or something? Can you see through it? I froze. I pretended to be a statue like Tanuki Mario. Did she see us? No. She muttered something to herself. The light went out. I blinked in the sudden darkness. Her footsteps moved away. I realized I was still holding my breath. I let it out slowly, trying not to make a sound, unlike when you let air out of a balloon slowly and it makes a giant fart sound, which is funny. You know what I almost tweeted today, but I decided it wasn't funny enough? You know the stupid old goth fucking Hot Topic keychain and shirt that says, "You laugh because I'm different. I laugh because you're all the same." I was going to tweet, "You laugh because I'm different. I laugh because farts." But it wasn't funny enough, so I didn't do it. But farts are pretty funny. God damn, they're having a good time next door. Anyway. She muttered something to herself. The light went out. I blinked in the sudden darkness. Her footsteps moved away. I realized I was still holding my breath. I let it out slowly, trying not to make a sound. Silence now. And darkness. No footsteps. No beam of yellow light. The front door banged shut. Alex and I exchanged glances. Was the woman gone? Did she leave the shop? We didn't move. We waited and listened. Silence. Then Alex sneezed. "Gotcha," the woman cried from somewhere behind us. Oh, adults. Always figuring out when young people sneeze, you know. Let's go on to chapter 7.
Chapter number 7.
A hand grabbed my shoulder. Hard. The sleeve of the raincoat brushed my face as the woman tugged me out from behind the shelf. I nearly tripped over the typewriter. The woman held me up by one arm. Alex stepped up beside me. Her ponytail had come undone. Her blonde hair was wild around her face. She kept swallowing hard, making dry, clicking sounds with her tongue like some sort of dolphin.
I was going to say African, but I went with dolphin, and I feel good about it.
I guessed she was as frightened as I was. The woman switched her flashlight on. She raised it to my face, then to Alex's. "Were you doing some late-night shopping?" she demanded. "Huh?" I managed to choke out. "The store is closed. Couldn't you tell?" the woman snapped. She was young and pretty. She locked her dark eyes on me. "What are you doing in here?" she asked. I opened my mouth to answer, but no sound came out.
Nothing," Alex said weakly. "We weren't doing anything."
See, kids need to just communicate to adults. All of life is just communication. You should be like, "Hey, we're kids. We're in this boring-ass town, and a shop burned down, so we're trying to check shit out. But since you didn't do a good enough job of making it so people could enter or could not enter, my friend got electrocuted, and I think we have a lawsuit in our hands."
I think that that's what Adam would say because of his heritage. The woman narrowed her eyes at Alex. "Why were you hiding?"
"You frightened us," I stammered, finally finding my voice.
"Well, you frightened me too," the woman exclaimed. "You frightened me plenty. I was in the back room and..."
"We were walking home. We saw the store, how it was wrecked," I explained. "We just wanted to see what it looked like inside, so we came in. That's all."
"Oh, do exactly what I said and make me look like an idiot." The woman lowered the light to the floor.
"I see," she said softly.
Her shoe made a squishing sound on the carpet. Water dripped steadily from the ceiling behind us.
They're just yelling next door.
"What a mess," the woman sighed. Her eyes traveled around the ruined shop. "I'm Mrs. Carter. I own this store."
"What's left of it."
I need to stop because people are yelling. As someone who's under the influence of alcohol for a large portion of my life, if not maybe most of it, it's baffling to me when people have completely different effects. Like, I'm here working on Goosebumps, I went to a game, I enjoyed myself, I did everything, and then you're like, there's other people that drink it and just yell stupid shit and woo for no reason. You know? It's fucking weird. That being said, I'm gonna continue on to this, because it's died down somewhat next door.
We're sorry, Alex stammered. "You shouldn't be in here," Mrs. Carter scolded. "It's very dangerous. Some of the electrical wires are down. You didn't touch anything, did you?"
"No, not really," I replied.
"Well, just the old typewriter," I said, gazing down at it.
"I wondered how it got down here," Mrs. Carter said.
"Why did you move it?"
I like it,"
I told her. "It's really cool."
"Zachy writes stories," Alex told Mrs. Carter.
"Scary stories."
Mrs. Carter let out a bitter laugh. "Well, you could certainly write a scary story about this place."
"I'll bet I could write awesome scary stories on that old typewriter," I said, staring down at it.
"You want it?" Mrs. Carter asked quickly.
"Yes," I answered. "Is it for sale? How much does it cost?"
Mrs. Carter motioned with one hand. "Take it," she said. "I'm already doing a bunch of insurance fraud around here. I'm going to claim that thing was an antique and cost $1,200. God, I'm going to make a lot of money off this."
"Excuse me?"
I didn't think I'd heard her correctly.
"Go ahead, take it," she repeated. "It's yours, for free."
"Do you mean it?"
God, talk about beating a dead horse. I cried excitedly. I can have it? She nodded. Thank you. I could feel a grin spreading over my face. Thanks a lot. Mrs. Carter bent down and picked up something off the floor. Here, she said. She handed me a fountain pen. A very old, fashioned-looking fountain pen. Heavy and black, with silvery chrome on it. For me? I asked, studying the pen. Mrs. Carter nodded. She smiled at me. It's my going-out-of-business special offer. You get a free pen with every typewriter. That doesn't seem like a good business plan to give more free stuff away with other free stuff, but maybe it's cursed. Wow, I exclaimed. Mrs. Carter moved the door and held it open. Now get the fuck out of here, both of you, she ordered. It really is dangerous in here. I'm leaving too. I hoisted the heavy old typewriter in my arms. Where did I get metal from? Balancing it against my chest, I followed Alex to the door. I felt so happy. I thanked Mrs. Carter 5 more times. Then Alex and I said goodbye and headed for our homes. The street was still wet. It glowed under the streetlights like a mirror. It didn't look real. What kind of mirror glows? I guess mirrors when you're like doing your makeup with the lights on the side. What are those, they call it vanity? If not, they should be, but I think they are. The walk home seemed to take forever. The typewriter grew heavier with each step I took. Weird, Alex muttered when we finally crossed onto our block. Huh? I groaned. My arms were about to fall off. The typewriter weighed a ton. What's weird, Alex? The way she just gave you that valuable typewriter, Alex replied thoughtfully. Why is that so weird? I demanded. She seemed so eager to give it away. It's almost as if she wanted to get rid of it, Alex said. She headed toward her house, which is next door to mine. My knees buckled as I started up my driveway. My arms ached. My whole body ached. I struggled to hold on to the typewriter. That's crazy, I muttered. Of course, I didn't know how right Alex was. I didn't know that carrying the old typewriter home would totally ruin my life, like teenage pregnancy. Am I right? I'm gonna have a sip of water, sip of beer, and go on because I stopped the other chapter in the middle. All right. Chapter 8, that's Ocho for people south of the border. I dragged the typewriter into the ranch house where I live. I was gasping for breath. My arms had gone numb. I assume by ranch house, he meant the style of home, not like the ranch house where Honey Boo Boo lives, where everything is smothered in ranch. Mom and Dad were in the living room. They sat side by side on the couch, doing a crossword puzzle together. And that's really sweet. They love crossword puzzles. I'm not sure why. Both of them are terrible spellers. They can never finish a puzzle. Maybe it's just their code word for banging. Lots of times, they end up fighting about how to spell a word. Usually, they give up and rip the puzzle to pieces. Well, that's overly dramatic. Then, a few days later, they start a new one. They both looked up as I lugged the typewriter toward my room. What the fuck is that? Mom demanded. It's a typewriter, bitch, I groaned. I know that, idiot, Mom protested. I mean, where the fuck did you get it? It's a long fucking story, I choked out. Dad climbed up from the couch and hurried over to help me. Wow, it weighs a fucking ton. Jesus Christ. I mean, it only weighs like as much as like half your mother, and that's a ton, so she's 2 tons. The point is, we need some sort of special livestock scale to weigh her, he said. How'd you ever carry it home? I shrugged. It wasn't so fucking bad, I lied. We carried it to my room and set it down on my desk. I wanted to try it out right away, but Dad insisted that I return to the living room. I told them the whole story. About lightning hitting the store. About going in to explore. About Mrs. Carter and how she gave me the typewriter. I left out the part about the bad electrical shock that knocked me on the floor. My parents are the kind of people who get upset very easily. When their dumbass kid electrocutes himself, of course they are. I mean, they start yelling and screaming over fucking crossword puzzles. So, I never tell them much. I mean, why ruin their day? Or mine?
Why do you need an old typewriter? Mom asked, frowning at me. No one uses typewriters anymore. You only see them in antique shops. I want to write my scary stories on this bitch, I replied. What about your new computadora? Dad demanded, who had clearly been studying up on his Spanish. What about the laser printer we gave you? It's the 90s. Everyone loves lasers. I'll use that too, I said. You know, for schoolwork and shit like that. Mom rolled her eyes. Next, Zachy will be writing with a feather quill and an inkwell, like some sort of weird neckbeard, she laughed. They both laughed. Very funny, I muttered. I said goodnight and hurried down the hall to my room. I turned the corner that led to my bedroom and stopped. What was that strange cracking sound? It seemed to be coming from my room. A steady, crackling buzz. Weird, I muttered. I stepped into the doorway, peered into my room, and gasped.
Chapter number 9.
My typewriter, I cried. The typewriter was bathed in a bright blue glow. Blue sparks buzzed and crackled off and flew in all directions. I stared in amazement as the blue current snapped and hummed over the typewriter. I thought about the shock that had knocked me to the floor in the antique shop. Had the typewriter stored up some of that electricity? Did it have potential electricity that was about to become kinetic? No, that was impossible. But then, why was that typewriter glowing under a crackling blue current now? Mom! Dad! I cried. Come here! You have to see this! I don't understand electricity!
They didn't reply, possibly because they were doing crossword puzzles in their dungeon full of leather.
I hurtled down the hall to the living room. Quick! Come quick! I shouted. You won't believe this!
They had returned to their crossword puzzle. Wink, listeners. Dad glanced up as I burst into the room.
How do you spell peregrine? He asked. It's a kind of falcon.
Why don't you just Google that shit, idiot, while they're yelling next door?
Who cares? I cried. My typewriter. It's going to blow up or something.
That got them off the couch.
I led the way, running full speed down the hall. Faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were huffing paint?
They followed close behind. I stopped at my doorway and pointed to my desk.
Look! I cried. All three of us peered across the room at the typewriter, the black metal typewriter with its black roller and rows of black keys ringed with silver. No blue electrical current. No sparks, no crackle, or no buzz. Just an old typewriter sitting on a desk.
Funny joke, Dad murmured, rolling his eyes at me, still erect from the crossword puzzle.
Mom shook her head. I don't know where Zachy gets his sense of humor. Not from my side of the family.
Your side of the family doesn't need a sense of humor. They're already a joke, Dad snapped like a horrible husband.
They walked off arguing. I edged slowly, carefully, into my room. I crept up to the typewriter. I reached out a hand. I lowered it toward the typewriter, lowered it until it was less than an inch away. Then I stopped. My hands started to shake. I stared down at the solid, dark machine. Should I touch it? Would it shock me again? Slowly, I lowered my hand.
Chapter number 10. This may be a short episode, depending on when my fiance gets off of work.
Alex slammed her locker shut. She adjusted her backpack and turned to me. So, what happened? Did the typewriter zap you?
It was the next morning. Spring vacation was over. School had started again. I had hurried down the hall to our lockers to tell Alex the whole typewriter story. I knew she was the only person in the world who would believe me. Sorry, I've had to burp this whole time.
No, it didn't zap me, I told her. I touched it and nothing happened. I pushed down some of the keys. I turned the roller, nothing happened. Alex stared hard at me.
Nothing?
Nothing.
That isn't a very good story, she teased. It has a very weak ending. Yeah, real stories don't have great endings. It's not always like, and it turns out we weren't on Earth and we're all vampires to begin with. It's always like, I don't know, and then I blacked out and, I don't know, passed out and woke up and went to work. That's how all stories end.
I laughed. Do you think it would be a better ending if I got fried?
Much better, she replied.
It was late. The first bell had already rung. The hall was nearly empty, like Hogwarts when they are getting attacked by evil wizards and trolls and shit. I'm going to rewrite the Blob Monster story, I told her. I have a lot of new ideas. I can't wait to start working on it. She turned to me. On the old typewriter? I nodded. I'm going to make the story longer and scarier. That old typewriter is so weird. I know it's going to help me write scarier than ever, I exclaimed. I need to find a kid. Not a kid, an adult like this who writes and makes a living writing, but also has like 14 different speech impediments where they have a lisp and they have some sort of crazy underbite and they have a stutter and half the vowels they replace with I's for no reason and some of the words they read backwards and all that crazy shit. And get them to write things and then I'll read the audiobooks and we'll split things 20-80 where they'll obviously get 80 because, you know, they wrote a book. But I read it, you know. And that's how people are going to listen to it anyway. People are too fucking lazy to read. Lazy to read. Jesus Christ, that was racist, old Dune. That being said, I'm going to make the story longer and scarier. That old typewriter is so weird. I know it's going to help me write scarier than ever, I exclaimed. I heard giggling. I spun around and saw Emmy and Annie Bell. They're twins, and they're in our class. If you had twins, why would you name them Emmy and Annie? That's way too close. You need to name them, like, Brock and Skligrb. And that way you'd never get confused about their names. Skligrb, come here. Adam came trailing after them. He punched me in the shoulder, so hard I bounced against the lockers. Emmy and Annie are good friends with Adam, but not with Alex and me. That's a Venn diagram right there. They both have curly red hair, lots of freckles, and lots of dimples. The only way to tell Emmy from Annie is to ask, which one are you? Emmy grinned at me. I mean, I think it was Emmy. Do you really believe in monsters? She asked. They both giggled again, as if Emmy had something really funny to say. Maybe, I replied, but I wasn't talking about real monsters. I was talking about a scary story that I'm writing. And then I added nastily, you two wouldn't understand since you haven't learned to write yet. Nailed it. Ha, ha, they both said sarcastically. You're so funny, Zacky. Funny looking, Adam added. They should call him Adam Ad, you know, like Adamant. But forget it. The oldest joke in the universe. But do you believe in monsters? Emmy insisted. Adam says you do, her sister added. Adam says you think a monster lives under your bed. I do not, I screamed. He lives in the closet and he pays rent and he thinks he's a Filipino student that goes to the local college. Either way, he makes a great stir fry over all my leftovers. Out of all my... whatever. I screamed. They both giggled. Adam is a liar, I cried. I tried to grab him, but he dodged away from me, laughing his head off. Zacky sees monsters everywhere, Adam teased, grinning at Emmy and Annie. He thinks if he opens his locker door, a monster will jump out at him. They giggled again. Give me a break, I muttered. We're going to be late. Ah, he's rhyming again. You don't want to hate, you know? I think it sounds great. You know? Let's not wait. We'll just continue to fillet dudes. I turned away from their grinning faces. I turned the lock on my locker and pulled open the door. Then I knelt down to pull out my books, and something leaped out of my locker. I saw a white flash. Huh? I cried out in surprise. Another one jumped out, and then I gasped when something plopped onto my head. Something alive. I fell to my knees, reached up to grab for it. I felt its claws tangle in my hair. Help! I cried, help me! There's no way the neighbors aren't hearing me say help and help me.
Oh my god, Franklin's making a little sleeping sound. Franklin, you very sleepy, Nine-Eye? He's going, Oh, dog dreams. Hope you're dreaming about me, buddy. And my ability to go to the store to purchase food that you like.
Chapter 11. The creature moved across my head and dropped down the back of my shirt. Its hot body slid down my skin, its claws pricked and pinched. Help me, help! I jumped up, kicking and stomping and squirming as if I was into the crumping movement. I frantically slapped at my back. Adam stepped up to me. He grabbed me by the shoulders. Then he tugged open the back of my shirt and plucked the creature off my back. Maybe it's a monkey on his back and it's a symbolism for addiction. He held his hand in front of my face. Wow, what a monster! He exclaimed. That's scary. Still trembling, I stared at the creature. A white mouse. A little white mouse. Why is he making fun of him for having a mouse crawl on him randomly? If there's a bee around, I just turn into a fucking raving lunatic. What the fuck is he talking about? The mouse? That's disgusting. I don't want that down my shirt. Emmy and Annie were doubled over beside Adam, laughing their heads off. Even Alex was laughing. Great friend, huh? Zacky, I guess you really do see monsters everywhere, Annie exclaimed. Even teeny white ones. That got them all laughing again. Did you see that awesome dance he did? Adam asked. Adam did an imitation of my frantic dance. He slapped at his head and neck and stomped wildly on the floor. I'm sorry, but if you had a random mouse jump out, jump on your head, run back and forth, and crawl down your shirt, that's like an enjoyable story. Like, if you had that at a party, people would be like, wow, this is an interesting dude. He's led an interesting life. A mouse went down his shirt. I don't have a story like that. I touched a wild alligator once. It was cool as hell. Shit's on my Instagram. Excellent! Emmy and Annie declared together. They all laughed again.
Alex stopped laughing and stepped up beside me. She brushed something off my shoulder.
Mouse hair, she murmured. It was probably poo-poo.
Then she turned to the others.
We should give Zacky a break, she told them. Someday, he is going to be a famous horror writer.
Someday, he's going to be a famous chicken, Annie exclaimed like some sort of mental patient.
Emmy made clucking sounds and flapped her feathers like Gob, Job, Gob. I fucking don't like Arrested Development as much as everyone else. I quit.
Do you believe it? The famous horror writer is afraid of mice. Adam cried.
Emmy and Annie thought that was really funny. Their red hair bobbed up and down as they laughed.
That's almost as if famous horror writer Clive Barker was afraid himself of genital mutilation.
Idiot, he's afraid of everything.
Emmy glanced at her watch and gasped. We're really late. She and her sister spun around and ran down the hill as Dune's neighbors just screamed for no reason. Adam put the mouse in his pocket and went tearing after them. I knelt down to pull my books from the bottom of my locker. I reached in carefully. I had to make sure there were no other mice inside.
Alex stood over me.
You okay?
She asked softly.
Go away, I snapped.
What did I do? Alex demanded.
Just go away, I muttered.
I didn't want her around. I didn't want anyone around. I felt like a total jerk. Why did I let a little mice scare me like that? Why'd I have to freak out in front of everyone? Because I'm a total jerk, I decided. I shoved books and a trapper keeper in my backpack. Then I stood up and started to close my locker. Alex leaned against the wall.
I told you to go away, I snapped at her again like a terrible friend. Don't be mean.
It was funny. There's a mouse in your shirt.
She started to reply, but stopped when Mr. Conklin, the principal, turned the corner.
Mr. Conklin is a tall, pencil-thin man with a narrow, red face and big ears that stick out like jug handles.
That has to be an R.L. Stein explanation. No kid knows how jug handles stay out.
You know, like how Pappy used to make shine. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
He talks really fast, always runs instead of walking, and always seems to be moving in eight directions at once. Mr. Conklin is a speed freak. He eyed Alex and me. "Who let the mice out of the science lab?" he demanded breathlessly. They were in Zacky's locker," Alex started. Before she could explain the rest, Mr. Conklin narrowed his eyes at me. His face grew even redder. "Zacky, I'd like to see you in my office," he ordered. "Right now."
"Right now! This is a Goosebumps, yeah! Dune, you are reading!"
Chapter number 12.
I didn't say much at dinner. I kept wondering if I should tell Mom and Dad about my adventures at school that day. But I decided to keep silent. I didn't need them laughing at me, too. And I didn't need them asking a million questions about what Mr. Conklin said to me. He had been pretty nice about it, actually. He just warned me to try to keep live creatures out of my locker. I had a locker in high school, and I think I used it like twice ever. I just kind of brought whatever books I needed and pretended I forgot the ones I didn't feel like I needed. I know lockers are weird, but I think that lockers are part of the schools that aren't in Southern California. That are like all of our schools outdoors, like everything. So it's not like, you know, Saved by the Bell when it's an indoor school and everyone hangs out by the lockers. That being said, after dinner, Dad and I loaded the dishwasher and cleaned up. I was sponging off the dinner table when Alex appeared. "How's it going?" she asked. "Did Mr. Conklin..." I slapped a hand over her mouth to shut her the fuck up. I could see Mom and Dad watching from the other room. "What about Mr. Conklin?" Mom demanded. "He's a nice guy," I replied. I dragged Alex to the den. "So, how's it going?" she repeated. "How's it going?" I cried shrilly. "How is it going? How can you ask me how it's going?" I don't know, because she's a good friend and trying to be helpful. "Well," she started, "it's going terrible," I cried. This is the first half of a Dune Reads Goosebumps. It doesn't go terrible until the second half. You're just bummed out because of some mice. Eventually, that typewriter is going to make shit you write come to life, and there's going to be a big blob that eats everyone, and you got to save the day by writing an ending, and it turns out the ending something something, I don't know, we'll figure it out. I had the worst day. Kids were laughing at me all day. Everywhere I went, kids made mouse faces at me and squeaked at me. She started to smile, but cut it off. "I don't know why I lost it this morning," I continued. "I felt so dumb. It was just a joke." Alex interrupted. "No big deal. NBD, that's what the kids are saying. Easy for you to say, or abbreviate," I grumbled. "You didn't have 100 disgusting rodents crawling all over your body."
100, Alex said. "How about 1, idiot?"
"It seemed like 100, I mumbled. I decided to change the subject. "Look at this," I said. I walked over to the desk by the window. After school, I had worked there for 3 hours, picking up a stack of pages. I picked up a stack of motherfucking pages. "What are those?" Alex asked, following me to the desk. "My new blob monster story," I replied. "It's about your mom."
"Burn!" "Just kidding, it isn't,"
I replied, holding up the handwritten pages. "I'm making it even scarier." Alex took the pages from my hand and shuffled through them. Then she narrowed her eyes at me. "You didn't type them on that old typewriter?" "Of course not." I took the pages back. "I always write the first draft by hand. I don't type my stories until I've got them just right."
Such a pretentious douchebag. He's the kind of guy that would bring said typewriter into Starbucks. And then be like, "Excuse me, can you keep it down? I'm working on something pretty magical here."
No, that's not true. He would not go to Starbucks. He'd go to some other coffee shop that, like, you know, 10% of their stuff goes to rhinos and AIDS or some shit. I don't know. I picked up the pen from the desk. "I use the antique pen that woman gave me in the shop," I told Alex. "What a great pen. It writes so smoothly. I can't believe she gave it to me for free." Alex laughed. "You're such a weird guy, Zacky. You get so excited about things like pens and typewriters." And then she added, "I think it's cool, but
sometimes I wish you'd get excited about me."
She didn't say that. I added that. I'm crazy. Oh, Dune. I glanced over my story. "Now, it's time to type it," I said. "I'm so excited. I can't wait to use that old typewriter." I led the way into my room. I was halfway to my desk when I stopped. "And let out a startled cry. The typewriter was gone. This is a book like Deep Trouble, where I feel like instead of the cover, you know, Deep Trouble, the cover was a giant shark, but it was really a book about a mermaid. Like, I feel like this one had the giant blob that was eating everything ever, but the cover should have just been a boring-ass typewriter. You know, possibly with a small amount of electric current going through it. But we'll see where this goes. It's Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune, you know? I make it all right.
Chapter number 13, yeah.
Alex and I both gaped at the empty spot on the front of my desk. Alex pushed up her glasses and squinted. It's gone, I murmured weakly. My knees started to buckle like some pilgrim's hats. I grabbed my dresser to hold myself up. Oh no, she's fainting. By the way, I like that I was like, I only screw up once every other chapter, and then I just continue to be drunk and start this drunk and just fuck up every single one. Oh, God, I'm terrible. Weird, Alex muttered, shaking her head. Are you sure? It just disappeared into thin air, I interrupted. I don't believe this. How could it disappear? How could what disappear? A voice called from the doorway. I whirled around to see Dad lumbering heavily into the room. It's bad when your presence is heavy. That means that, like, you are about to lose both legs and an eyeball to diabetes. He carried the old typewriter in his arms. Dad, why? I started. He set it down on the desk. Then he pushed his curly black hair off his forehead and grinned at me. I cleaned it for you, Zachy, he said, and put in a new ribbon, because I'm a cool-ass dad who's very supportive, but you're not going to appreciate that until you reach your 20s because you're a douchebag. He wiped sweat off his forehead with the back of his hand. Ribbons are hard to find these days, he said. No one uses typewriters anymore. Alex laughed. Zachy thought the typewriter disappeared into thin air. I flashed Alex an angry look. Alex, give me a break, I whispered, referencing the Kit Kat bar commercial, as so many Goosebumps had done before this one. She made a face at me. Dad shook his head. It's a little too heavy to disappear into thin air, he sighed. It weighs a ton, more than a computer. I walked over to the typewriter and ran my hand over the smooth, dark metal. Thanks for cleaning it up, Dad, I said. It looks awesome. A few of the keys were sticking, Dad said, so I oiled them up. I think the old machine is working fine now, Zachy, but please stop eating Eggos and dripping syrup all over everything while you type. You should be able to write some great stories on it. Thanks, Dad, I repeated. I couldn't wait to get started. I reached into my top drawer for some paper. Then I noticed that Dad hadn't left. He was lingering by the door, watching Alex and me. Particularly Alex. It doesn't say that. We'll just go on without the dad being a perv. He seems like a really solid dude. Your mom went across the street to visit Janet Hawkins, our new neighbor, he said. It's such a beautiful spring night. I thought maybe you two would like to take a walk into town to get some ice cream. No thanks, Alex replied. I already had dessert at home before I came over, and I really want to start typing my new scary story, I told him. He sighed and looked disappointed because clearly he wanted us out of the house so he could make some dirty, dirty crossword puzzles with my mother. I think he really wants an excuse to get ice cream, too. As soon as he left, I dropped into my desk chair. I slid a fresh white sheet of paper into the typewriter roller. Alex pulled up a chair and sat beside me. Can I try the typewriter after you? She asked. Yes, after me, I replied impatiently. I really wanted to get my story typed. I let my eyes wander over the round, black keys. Then I leaned forward and started to type. Typing on a typewriter is a lot different from typing on a keyboard. For one thing, you have to press the keys a lot harder. I grew up in an age where I used a typewriter a lot when I was a kid, up until I was about 10, 11, 12. And I'd have to type things on it and do the thing where you go back a couple spaces and use the white ribbon to put white ink over the black when you make a typo. Just letting you know, it's fucking interesting.
It took me a few tries to get the feel of the thing. Then I typed the first words of my story. It was a dark and stormy night. Hack! Hey! I uttered a cry as lightning flashed in my bedroom window. Rain pounded on the glass. A sharp roar of thunder shook the house. Darkness swept over me as all the lights went out. By the way, when I was at the Chargers game today, all the lights were out in the men's bathroom. It was fucking weird going in a bathroom with everyone drunk, pitch black, not pitch black, you could still see some shit, and trying to navigate that situation. It was fucking bizarre. It was just a weird situation. Anyway, Zachy? Alex cried in a tiny voice. Zachy? Zachy? Are you all right?
Chapter number 14.
I swallowed hard. Yes, I'm okay, I said quietly. Alex is the only person in the world who knows that I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of mice, and I'm afraid of the dark. I admit it. I was afraid of the dark. I had to whip my ding-dong out in front of weird, strange men that really liked football. It's very uncomfortable today. Anyway. And I'm afraid of a lot of other things. I'm afraid of big dogs. Franklin, he'd be okay with you. I'm afraid of going to the basement when I'm all alone in the house. That's probably because you've seen your parents play crossword puzzles so many times down there. I'm afraid of jumping into the deep end of a swimming pool. That's just because you're a pussy. I've told Alex about some of my fears, but not all of them. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. Why do I write scary stories if I'm afraid of so many things? I don't know. Maybe I write better stories because I know what being scared feels like. The lights went off so suddenly. God damn it, wait one second. Sorry about that, my phone is ringing. The lights went off so suddenly, Alex said. She stood beside me, leaning over my desk to see out the window. Usually, they flicker or something. Sheets of rain pounded against the window pane. It drove me insane. I couldn't feel the feelings in my brain. I'm just saying it was lame. Anyway, back to the refrain. Jagged streaks of lightning crackled across the sky. I stayed in my desk chair, gripping the arms tightly. I'm glad Adam isn't here, I murmured. He'd make fun of me. But you're not very scared now, are you? Alex asked. An explosion of thunder made me nearly jump out of said chair. A little, I confessed. And then I heard the footsteps. Heavy, thudding footsteps from out in the hall. Thunder roared again. I spun away from the window and listened to the footsteps thudding heavily on the carpet. Who's there? I called through the darkness. I saw a flicker of yellow light in the doorway. A shadow swept over the wallpaper in the hall. Dad stepped into the room. This is so weird, he said. He was carrying two candles in candlesticks. Their flames bent and nearly went out as he carried them to my desk. Like a ghost! But, you know, you could see him, and he wasn't dead, but still he had candlesticks, which is a ghost thing to carry. Where did that storm come from? Dad asked, setting the candles beside my typewriter. Are you okay, Zachy? God, it makes me cringe every time. I forgot. Dad also knows I'm scared of the dark. I'm fine, I told him. Thanks for the candles. Dad stared out the window. We couldn't really see anything out there. The rain was coming down too hard. The sky will clear a few... Fucking Christ. The sky was clear a few seconds ago, Dad said, as Dune ruined the momentum of the listener. Fuck, I need to really finish this. My brain is going to shit. Leaning over me to get a better view. I can't believe such a big storm could blow in so quickly. It's weird, I agreed. We stared at the rain for a minute or so. Sheets of lightning made the backyard glow like silver. Ah, it was a dark and stormy night. And then that's what he wrote on the typewriter that has magical powers. Like, he should have just wrote, like, I wish this Alex broad would give me a blowjob and not use teeth. And then that would have come true. But instead he wrote, it's a dark and stormy night and just fucked with the weather. But, you know, old Dune used to work at a tennis shop a long time ago and could have gone for a stormy night when he didn't have to go to work. So that would have been nice. I'm going to call your mother, Dad said. I'm going to tell her to wait out the storm. He patted me on the back, then headed to the door.
Don't you want a candle? I called after him. No, I'll find my way. I'm not some sort of pussy who's afraid of the dark, but, you know. Be safe, he replied. I have a flashlight in the basement. He disappeared down the hall, pointing at his ass where he had a flashlight hidden in his butt. What do you want to do now? Alex asked. Her face looked orange in the candlelight like Snooki's. Her eyes glowed like cat eyes. I turned back to the typewriter. It would be cool to write by candlelight, I said. Scary stories should always be written by candlelight. I'll bet that's how all the famous horror writers write their stories. Pretty sure R.L. Stine just calls in from his yacht and is just like, hey, I don't know, something about a blob and a typewriter. You figure it out. Oy vey, bye. Cool, Alex replied. Go ahead. I slid the candlestick closer. The yellow light flickered over the typewriter keys. I leaned forward and read over the first sentence of my story. It was a dark and stormy night. Then I hit the spacebar and typed the next sentence. The wind began to howl. These are some short-ass fucking sentences. What's he working on? Completing an entire haiku? I hit the spacebar again and raised my fingers to type the next sentence. But a rattling noise made me jump. What is that? I gasped. The window, Alex pointed. Outside, the window blew hard, rattling the window pane. Over the steady roar of the rain, I heard another sound. A strange howl. I gripped the arms of my desk chair. Do you hear that? I asked Alex. She nodded. Her eyes squinted out the window. It's just the wind, she said softly. It's howling through the trees. Outside, the howling grew louder as the wind swirled around my house. The window rattled and shook. The howling grew high and shrill, almost like a human voice. A human wail. Whoa! I felt a chill run down my back at Dune's scary sound. Gripping the chair arms tightly, I struggled to keep my fear down. It's just a storm, I told myself. Just a rainstorm. Just a lot of rain and wind. I glanced at the words I had typed. In the flickering orange light, the black type jumped out at me. The wind began to howl. I listened to the shrill howling outside. It seemed to surround me, surround the house. How strange, I muttered, and then things got a lot stranger. Uh-oh, stranger danger. We'll see what happens next. Chapter 15. You're not getting very far with the story, Alex said. Well, the storm, I started. She put a hand on my shoulder. You're shaking, she exclaimed. No, I'm not, I lied. Yes, you are. You're shaking, she insisted. If you're lying about shaking, it's probably withdrawals. Seriously, Zachy, you need to get into rehab. No way. I'm okay, really, I said, trying to keep my voice calm and steady. I'm not that afraid, Alex. Maybe if you work on the story, you won't think about the storm so much, she suggested. Right. The story, I agreed. An explosion of thunder shook the house. I let out a sharp cry. Why does it seem so close? I exclaimed. The lightning and thunder. It sounds as if it was right in the backyard. Alex grabbed my shoulders and turned me to the typewriter. Type, she ordered. Pretend there is no storm. Just type. Isn't the never-ending story like this? Maybe just reads on and shit happens? I don't know. Point is, the band of Treyu sucks. I obediently raised my hands to the keys of the old typewriter. The candles had burned down a little and the page was shadowy and dark. I typed the next sentence. Alex and Zachy were alone in the dark house, listening to the storm. Alex and Zachy went to see the Chargers today. They beat the Cleveland Browns. I don't really care about football, but, you know, it's fun to do things that aren't just sitting at home and getting fucked up. Rain pounded hard against the window. In a white flash of lightning, I could see the trees in the backyard, bending and trembling in the howling light. The story is about us? Alex asked, leaning over my shoulder to read what I had typed. Of course, I replied.
You know that I always write about us and the other kids at school. It makes it easier to describe everyone. You know, because I don't have a single original thought in my head. I just look at a classroom and go like, I don't know, maybe there's a blob here. That'll be tight.
Well, don't let the blob monster eat me, she instructed. I want to be the hero, not the dinner. I laughed. A crash of thunder made me jump. I turned back to the typewriter. I squinted to read over the sentences I had typed. The candles aren't giving enough light, I complained. How did writers do it in the old days? They must have all gone blind.
Let's go and get more candles, Alex suggested. Good idea, I agreed.
We each picked up a candlestick, holding them in front of us. We made our way down the hall.
Who are they? Kids in the hall?
Nailed it. The candles bent and flickered. Our footsteps were drowned out by the steady roar of rain on the roof.
Dad, I called. Hey, Dad, we need more candles?
No reply.
Yoda, did you think I was calling you? You're very sweet.
We stepped into the living room. Two candles glowed on the mantelpiece. Two more stood side by side on the coffee table in front of the couch.
Dad? I called. Where are you?
Holding the candles high, Alex and I made our way to the den. Then the kitchen. Then Mom and Dad's bedroom.
No Dad.
Holding my candle tightly in one hand, I pulled open the basement door.
Dad, are you down there?
Silence. I felt another tingling chill run down my back. I turned to Alex.
He's gone, I stammered. We're all alone.
Ah, interesting, because they typed that they're alone in the house and then they were all alone. I'm going to see if I got a text. No, and then I'm going to drink some of this Bud Light and continue on.
Chapter 16, continuing on.
He has to be here, Alex insisted. Where would he go in this storm? You know dads don't have lives.
He just is probably playing hide and go seek, like we were doing in the antique shop.
For ice cream? I suggested. He really wanted some ice cream.
Alex frowned. Your dad would go out in this storm to get a cup of ice cream? That's impossible. What is he? Some sort of American stereotype?
Oh! You don't know my dad, I replied. He's here, Alex insisted. She set down the motherfucking candle and cupped her motherfucking hands around her mouth.
Mr. Damn it, what was it? Bachan?
I'm going to pronounce it like the teachers that don't know how to pronounce it.
Mr. Beauchamp,
she called. No reply. Wind howled outside the living room. Lightning flickered. Hey, I cried. In the flash of bright light, I saw a car in the driveway. Dad's car. I made my way to the window and peered out like a creepy pervert.
Dad didn't drive anywhere, I told Alex. His car is still here. And he wouldn't walk. You know how much he loves ice cream. That totally impedes his ability to walk places.
Mr. Beauchamp?
Alex tried again. Weird, I muttered. He wouldn't go out without telling us.
Would he? He just disappeared. Alex's eyes flashed. Her expression changed. She narrowed her eyes at me.
What's wrong? I asked. Why are you staring at me like that?
Zachy, what was the last sentence you typed? She demanded, still squinting at me.
Huh? In your story, she said impatiently.
What was the last sentence? I thought hard. Then I recited it.
Why'd you have to think hard? You've written three sentences so far, two of which have come true, and now you're at the third one, which seems like it's come true.
Alex and Zachy were alone in the house, listening to the storm.
Alex nodded her head solemnly.
So what? I asked. What does the story have to do with anything?
Don't you see? Alex replied. You wrote that we were alone in the house, and now we're all alone.
I stared back at her. I still didn't know what she was talking about, because seriously, I might be retarded.
Zachy, this is amazing, she cried. This is the first sentence of the story. Or what is the first sentence of the story?
I told her it was a dark and stormy night. Yes! Alex cried excitedly. Her eyes went wide. The candle shook in her hand. Yes, a dark and stormy night. But it had been a nice night, right? It's gonna be a nice night. All right, we're gonna have a good night. Okay.
That's a song I wrote.
Huh? I struggled to follow her. Your dad said there wasn't a cloud in the sky.
Remember?
That's why he wanted to walk into town.
Yeah, so what? I demanded.
She let out an impatient sigh. So then you typed that it was a dark and stormy, that it was dark and stormy, and guess what? It became dark and stormy. But Alex, I started.
She raised a finger to her lips to silence me.
And then you typed that we were all alone in the dark house, and that came true.
Ah, fuck, I groaned. You're not going to tell me that my story is coming true, are you?
So far it has, she insisted. Every word of it. Just like the Bible. Every piece of that is true.
Just kidding, it's all lies.
That's really dumb, I told her. I think this storm has freaked you out more than me.
Then how else do you explain it?
Alex shot back.
Explain it? A big rainstorm came up?
That's how I explain it. I picked up a candlestick from the mantle. Now I had one in each hand. If only candle wax was booze, I'd be properly double-fisting. I started back to my room. Alex followed me.
How do you explain your dad disappearing into thin air? You know your dad isn't thin. That dude loves ice cream and hates walking.
Our shadows edged along the wall, bending in the flickering light. I wish the electricity would come back on. Between me and Alex.
Just kidding, he just meant the power.
I stepped into my room.
Dad didn't disappear.
He went out, I told Alex. I sighed.
Your idea is crazy. Just because I typed that it was stormy out and...
Let's test it, Alex urged.
Excuse me?
She dragged me to the desk chair. She pushed me into it.
Hey, I protested. I almost dropped the candles.
Type something, Alex instructed.
Go ahead, Zacky. Type something,
and we'll see if it comes true.
Now it's getting good, and now I'm just gonna go out and leave you. I'm Dune, this is Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is the end of part one of The Blob That Ate Everyone, which I think is the story they're starting to type. So it's a typewriter that makes shit come true.
That's cool. That's an exciting plot. We'll see where this goes.
All right, so getting 3 episodes done in a week. I don't think I'm going to post this yet because I haven't even... I forgot to post on Facebook to say that the other one's up. Anyway, I'm Dune. You know where I am on random social media. You know where you can hit me up. I tend to almost always respond. I'm on top of things. Somewhat. I don't know. Either way, stay spooky, bitches.